George, it's been a little bit. First question is an obvious one. Have you fully recovered? And presuming and hopefully the answer being yes, how are you doing? How are you feeling in COVID-19's aftermath?
Oh, no, I'm doing very good. And I just want to reiterate the fact that it wasn't that bad, that big of a deal. You know, even though I was asthmatic, yes, they gave me a bit of oxygen for the first 2 days because of my asthma. But, you know, I was fine. 5 days after I was back from the hospital, I was running like 10K five times a week. So even though I got diagnosed with a double pneumonia, I was able to run and go back to my normal training. So it wasn't that I knew at my age I was going to be fine and I was going to recover, because at 43, people in my room that were much older than me, they were suffering much more than I was. But to be honest with you, if I had to pick between fighting on the ice someone or having COVID again, I would pick having COVID again.
Or having me as your centerman?
Actually, having you as a centerman, man, if I didn't get traded that year, I would have had my career best in points. You know, my career best in points was 29, 13 goals, 29. But with you, I was on pace to have like close to 50 points. So, but, you know, I had to be traded because our team was out of the playoffs in December. But other than that, we're having a really good year.
Good memories back in 06, 07. But, I don't know if you're allowed to talk about what. Were there any meds they gave you, or did you take anything for it that you can talk about?
I could talk about anything. Yeah. First of all, in Canada, it's not like in the States. In the States, they do give you some medication and stuff that could actually help you. But when I got there, under the oxygen, they give me half a cortisone pill a day because they said my lung was swelled up, but I got nothing else. So what happened is I was in the hospital for a while, and actually for 4 days. I was supposed to be there for 2 weeks. But when I got there, I was like, okay, I got to find a way to get better. So there's a couple of things that I did. First of all, I didn't eat their food because I'm vegan, and they would give me like mashed potatoes that is made in microwave with powder and water and stuff like that, right? I was like, there's no way I'm eating that. So I had a friend that delivered me some nuts, and I had another friend that sent me some naturopathic product that helps clear up your lungs. Mm-hmm. And I had Paul Gagné, which is he's a posturologist that is well known in Canada. And I was doing breathing exercise with him online, so people could join us to do breathing exercise when I was doing live videos. So I did those breathing exercise 3 times a day because it is proven that when you do a breathing exercise, whether you have COVID or not, and whether you're asthmatic or not, you improve your immune system because you open up your lungs breathing wise, it becomes stronger. So I did that tons because it's the breathing that I had a hard time when it attacked my lungs. And I took the natural product to clear up my airways. And when I was doing that, taking those products, I was not right from the nurse and the doctors, and they didn't say anything. But after 4 days, they couldn't believe how I recovered so fast and so well. And they're like, well, I guess you could finish your confinement at home. So I left. I left after 4 days, and then I finished it at home. And 5 days later, I was running. So when they called me to see how I was doing, and I said I was running, they're like, oh, my God, it's not a good idea. And I said, no, I have no pain. For them, it was unheard of. There's nobody that has COVID and they have asthmatic and double pneumonia that is running after a week. And especially the way that I was diagnosed. But it's just, you know, your lifestyle, the way you eat, being vegan, stronger immune system, breathing exercise, natural product, all that stuff. It's all the stuff that helps with, on top of the fact that you stay active. Because one of the biggest mistakes people do when they're sick, they stay in bed. You lay down. And when you lay down, your body is not active. So it's harder for your body to fight a virus. It's important, even though it hurts and it's hard, to get up and to be active and to move a bit. Because once you're active, then your body starts to fight the virus in a much easier way than if you lay down and you let that virus take in all over you. And I'm not just talking about COVID. I'm talking about any virus, anytime you're sick about anything. It's a bad habit that most people do. When they lay down, they don't move, they just watch TV, and they're just suffering in bed. And of course, I'm not talking about elderly people that have actually no energy to get up. That's actually another issue. But people that are younger, there's no reason why they should lay down all day when they're sick. They should get up and move, and that way it's going to get away quicker.
George Larocque, he is our guest, having recovered from COVID-19, former NHLer. a former teammate of Ziggy's. This is Leadoff, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. George, you have detailed at different times throughout your career and post-career the racism you faced as a hockey player. General question to begin. I'm wondering what has been going through your mind specifically over the last week and a half or so since George Floyd was brutally murdered in Minneapolis.
Okay, well, there's a couple of things when I look at all this, because you know, if I look at the Floyd situation, it is disgusting, and the cop did that should go to jail for life. I also saw, and I was a bit relieved when I saw that, is that in Minnesota they arrested 84 people by putting their neck, like their knees on their neck, and a third of them were white people. So they actually do that to white people too. It's not just to black people that they arrest people like that. So when I read that, of course, nobody talks about it, right? But it was important for me to know that this also happened to white people, but the only thing is they didn't put their knee for 9 minutes on the neck of somebody white. But the fact that in their arrestation they've done that to black and whites, it shows you that it's something common that they do that they should never do anyway because it's too dangerous. Another thing, too, with the George Floyd thing is that as disgusting what the cop did, that guy was a criminal, and we can't forget that. So when I look at this situation, I'm not more so looking at the George Floyd when I'm talking about the whole thing, because what he did is bad. The cop's going to go to jail. Good. What that does to me, the Arbery thing and the George Floyd, it makes me talk about racism today, the state of racism in 2020, how it hasn't changed. And it's funny because I was looking at a quote from Will Smith that I posted the other day. And he said racism is not worse today. It's just getting filmed, which is true because back in the day, there was tons of racism, but we weren't talking about it on social media because there was no cameras. Now everybody has cameras and everything is witnessed. So it's actually the same. It's just the same. Nothing has changed. It's actually the same thing. So the one thing I have to say, though, because my brother is a police officer, so it's important for me to say that we can't put all the cops in the same situation. They're not all bad. The majority of cops are good. They're there to save our lives. They're risking their life every single day, every time they get a call. There is some rotten cops, that's right, but the majority of them are good. So when people start doing protests against police officers, that's wrong, because you're destroying like the life of some of them that are putting their life for public services and stuff. So it's important to address it. But at the same time, there is some people that should not be police officers because when they're in a position of authority and they're racist, they're taking advantage of it and it makes the government looks very bad. So, and with all those other situations, we saw something with hockey, with Hakeem Olajuwon and all that stuff. It just shows you that the state of racism hasn't changed. It's not getting any better, and nobody is doing anything about it. And now people are revolting about it, and they're getting upset about it. And you know, I know it's terrible. It's wrong, and you're wondering when things are going to stop. But this is the situation right now. And the good things about what's going on right now, though, for the first time as I've seen for a long time, is that it's not just white people talking about it, black people talking about it, but it's white people that are known for publicly that are addressing the situation. So now it becomes worldwide more a problem because they're recognizing it, they're seeing it, and they're talking about how it should stop. So that's why the situation now is picking up more ground because now everybody's talking about it.
What do you think are some of the steps or what's the solution to all of this? That now that you said, well, you know, I agree, we are all talking about it now. It's been going on for years and things do have to change. What are some of the solutions you think would help us move forward in you know, getting rid of all the injustice and inequality going on right now in our country?
Okay. So in terms of solution, for everybody that hear me, there's only one. There's only one way you could change this because you can't change someone that is racist. You can't change them from the inside. They don't care. We could do protests. We could do whatever we want. We could cry about it. Do whatever. They love it. They thrive about it. They look at that stuff on TV and they get off on it. So you're not going to change someone. What you could do, though, you could force them to be respectful. Because the thing is, the goal is not to change people because it's impossible to change someone. If somebody inside of them are racist, it's too bad. As much as I hate it, I'm not going to change them. So what we have to do is find measure to force everyone that is racist to be respectful around people around them because of those measures. First measure that I would do, every government, everyone, every government job, whether you're police, fireman, nurse, anything that has to do with the government, zero tolerance for racism. You get caught once, you're out. You get kicked out. You get fired. So people that studies all their life to get a job, like being a police officer, you go to technical school to be a police officer, like any government job, if you get caught once, disprove, video, anything that proves you did one act of racism, you're out. So right away, you're cleaning up everybody that works for the authority, especially police officers, because they'll be like, I get caught once, I lose my job. There's no discussion. On top of that, all the other business outside of the government, once again, when you have an employee commits one act of racism, you fire him. There's no question asked, obviously with proof. If an owner of a business is racist, you boycott that business, nobody goes there, so you'll go under because it's not going to make any money. You tag them. So right away, they're out. So if every business is out there and stuff, they clean up their business that way, and you don't accept any racism, right away, in people that work, they're going to have to respect people in a work environment because now nobody's going to stand for it. And now in the public, like public place and stuff, we give tickets to people if they drive too fast. We do stuff like this. One act of racism, again, you call somebody, you attack somebody because he's a Native American, you attack somebody that's Arab, you attack somebody that is black, you get a ticket. Same thing. Once, if it's proven, obviously, you give them a ticket. So every time you say something and it's proven, there's a video or something, you get a ticket. So by doing that, you're going to force people that are racist to shut the hell up. Because now they're going to be like, you know what? As much as they want to insult somebody and act in doing something, they'll know that everything is filmed and they're going to get fined for it. And that's the only way you could change racism today, because you could put them in a situation to force them to respect people outside of their home. The minute they get out of their home and they see people that are different than them, that's the only way I could see things going like that.